It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes, as I was saying,
You were saying you supposed we were all wondering why you called us.
Look, there is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question. What is your name?
I'm Shawk, the gardener.
And what is it you do?
I'm the gardener.
And why didn't you say that to me in the first place?
I did.
Look, don't try to be funny with me, monsieur. This is a very serious matter. And everyone in this room is under the suspicions.
Room?
What? What was that?
You said room.
Yes, I know that. And there is a very good chance that someone in this room knows more about the murder than he is telling.
Murder?
What was that you said?
I said murder.
What murder?
Well, I don't know. You said murder.
I said murder? You said murder.
No, I said murder because you said murder.
I said murder.
You said there was someone in this room who knew more about the murder than he's telling.
What was your name?
Shawk.
The cook.
Gardener.
Ah, now we are getting somewhere. You.
Oh, dear. Are you all right, Mr. Stutterstut?
Who is this man?
He's Mr. Stutterstut.
I see him. What is your job, Mr. Stuckerstuff?
He's the beekeeper.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking Mr. Stuffsucker. What's that? What is he saying to you? What was that?
He says he's got a bit of a cold and he's lost his voice.
Lost his voice? A beekeeper who has lost his voice, a cook who thinks he's a gardener, and a witness to a murder. Oh, yes. It is obvious to my trained eye that there is much more going on here than meets the ear. Before you are dismissed, Mr. Stiffsticker, I suggest you count your bees. You may find that one of them is missing.
You ruined that piano.
What is the price of one piano compared to the terrible crime that has been committed here?
But that's a priceless Steinway.
Not anymore.
Coming to you live from the WKFK studios in the historic radio district of Fairfax, Virginia, a bustling suburb of the nation's capital, it's the Mike O'Mara Show, featuring Buzz Burbank with Rob Spiewak, Beth Ann McBride, Joe Ardinger, and Katie. And now, here's Mike.
Your mic is on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Greetings, citizenry.
Hi.
Happy Monday. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. How are we all today? Everybody fine? Everybody doing well? Good. Fine. Glad to hear it. Happy Monday.
Fine.
Mondays suck. They can't suck enough. We know that. You know that. Let's just try to enjoy each other's company for the next 4 hours. Shall we do that?
Yeah. I always do.
It is Monday, August 4, 20-odd-8. This is the big show. Mm-hmm. Today on our program, the Mike O'Mara Show, for you...
To sing for you.
I can't start with Inspector Clouseau and Inspector Heaven Normal Show.
Too funny.
Are you kidding me? It is very, very difficult to come in here and behave normally. Mm-hmm. After I've been listening to that, it makes me silly. I want to be silly for the rest of the day.
It's a very, very big week. We'll tell you more about that later. Today on the show, the Repo Man, Patrick Altiz is the guy's name.
Wow.
He takes your car if you don't have the money to pay for it.
Huh.
Also, actor Josh Gad. You might have seen this guy in 21.
Uh-huh.
He was also in that recently canceled television show with Patricia Heaton and also Kelsey Grammer.
Back
to You. I think he was in that. That was a good show.
It wasn't bad.
And he's starring with Rainn Wilson in The Rocker.
It's a very funny
movie that's coming out. Opens August 20th in theaters nationwide. He is out of that same Seth Rogen kind of, Judah Friedlander, kind of chubby guy.
They all arrived on the same bus.
It's very, very popular in Hollywood right now. I'll ask him about that. So he's on the program. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. This Friday night.
Yay. 4 days and counting, folks.
We are already excited about it. It's the party on the 8th and the debut of the Buzz Babes.
Oh, yeah.
That's finally this Friday night, 8-8-0-8 at 8. The Great Chantilly Sports Bar, Bungalow Billiards. 13891 Metro Tech Drive in Chantilly, Virginia. If you're in an affiliate station, just get your plane tickets. Come out here and join us. This is going to be a great party. You know why?
Why?
Guess where we're going to be? At the Bungalow Billiards in Chantilly. Where will we be in that building?
Where?
We're going to be in the monkey room.
The monkey room.
I'll need a good chimp before the end of the week, Rob.
You have one.
Do I have a chimp?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, hold on a second. Wait a minute. I do have a chimp. All right. Machine
you
five.
Do have a chimp.
I do. Hold on a second.
So the Buzz Babes will be having their debut?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't wait to see what they look like.
In their new outfits.
I've seen so much about them. I thought they were uniforms.
Can you say cleavage?
All right. We are going to be in the monkey room. We will be in the monkey room.
Look forward to it.
And that's coming up this Friday night. Should be a lot of fun. Bungalow Billiards doing their best to save the wildlife with billiards, brew, and great food, too. So I can't wait to see everybody out there. For info and directions, all you have to do is go to our website, MichaelMaraShow.com, and you'll find out all there is to know about that.
So, arrive thirsty.
Yes, please do. We will be arriving Thursday, and we will not be leaving Thursday. We will be leaving with a big car
that's
taking us all home.
A long black car.
Gurneys.
We've already made that arrangement. Beth Ann McBride, today I'm not going to wait. I waited on Friday. I'm not doing that
paging
anymore.
The producer.
This is just simply a temperature issue. It is always.
It is a little muggy, isn't
it's
it?
It's sauna in here every single day.
Did she say anything, or did she
man
just
needs
open
to be
the
cool
door?
When he's going to talk to the big stars of the day, like the Repo Man and Josh Gad.
She mumbled something.
Yeah. She just came and went.
Well, you know her. Oh, I have the wrong one. Well, sorry, shut up.
I like that flourish for her.
All right, hold on. There's what I'm looking for. How was your weekend?
It was good.
How was the Beth Ann weekend?
That was nice. My dog's sick.
Oh, no.
Still?
Your elderly dog
is... I think she's on her final paws.
Oh, How old is your dog?
She'll be 13.
Is your dog living with you here in Virginia?
That's 91.
We're living together.
That's wonderful. The 91 in dog years?
Yeah.
Have you investigated the medical condition of the dog, or are you doing it the way you do a lot of things, kind of, keeping it... Yeah, just keeping it kind of budget busting. You know what I mean?
You know what would be nice?
She seems to be walking with a limp and her eyes bleeding, but, I've given her some...
I stopped the bleeding.
I've given her some Arm & Hammer and put her in her doggy bed and decided to give her, like, a little gin in her dish instead of taking her to a proper veterinarian.
While we have some time left, it might be good. Could we book the dog? Have the dog on the program?
What was that? Was that your computer?
Yeah, it was.
Buzz, you want to know what ego is? I'm accused of having the most of it around here, but let me just let you know that Buzz Burbank was listening to one of his projects when I came in
here. Yes,
one of his narrations that he does. Buzz is very into the voiceover business.
Very good.
And he was listening to his narration, yes.
And did he have it loud enough, obviously, so you could hear it?
He was showing off.
Yeah.
He wanted us all to notice it. That's why he was playing it. And it was I even went over and looked because I pretend that I'm interested in it. I went over
that.
And I looked at it and I said, what is that? He said, that is a
planet.
What it is my narration for a new children's show that I think is going to be very popular.
Yes,
and what they do is they have this video that looks like straight out of the 1970s. And then it's Buzz's voice going,
oh, wow.
You'll get all these different artists. And it had some names,
It did, in fact, have some
You have
names.
Some like rock and roll artists that are going to be on this kid's show.
Iggy Pop, sure.
Like Ted Nugent.
And that you did this narration for this?
Yeah, it's a promotional video, and I've done it before. The reason I was listening, so I'd know how to deliver it again the second time, because we're doing an additional video for it. But it's a show that started on the internet, on cable access, and those types of places, now being picked up by real television stations and getting praise from Rolling Stone.
I have always wanted to do what he does. Buzz has always done.
News?
No. I've always wanted to do the kind of commercial work that he does.
Oh yeah.
I get. You know what I get? I my entire career, I've never been able to get out of the box. I get. Can you come in and imitate that guy that does the commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you come in, Mr. Jerry, and do the voice of Tony Soprano?
But that's
It's still voice work, but I've always wanted, I've always said I've always wanted to be the jewelry store guy. Right. I've always wanted to be the narrator
that says,
the banks of the Serengeti, slowly the snow leopard stalks its prey.
Peas grow here.
That jewelry guy is married to Carrie's best friend.
Really?
Yeah, his name is Tony Hoyland.
Everybody knows these
people. He's got an inn with Spiewak.
Thomas's English Muffins.
Yeah.
And I just would like to really I have been so, as far as doing commercial voice work over the years.
Make it short.
I've never, I love that. Everybody wants to do that, but only he gets to do it.
Well, but you get to do voices. See, I have one voice. Hi. That's it. That's all I do.
But you do character voices.
An array of voices.
You do Dudley Do Right.
Oh, shut the front door.
Well, anyway, so I'm sorry to hear about your dog, Beth
Ann. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But please, can we have the temperature in a reasonable level?
I lowered it.
It's on its way down now.
Feel better?
And are you doing everything for Party on the Eights, or are you delegating? Are you doing every little detail? I talked to Beth Ann this morning, and she's very, very uptight about it already. She's definitely
Sure. You have no idea the call I got from her today.
You know, the bottom line, though, is when we get out there, when we get out there Friday and we want a sound system to say hello to everybody and to introduce the Buzz Babes, it's going to work. And I know it's going to work because that's what Beth Ann does. But Beth Ann does do every single thing herself.
All the details. She hasn't covered.
Yeah. I think she delegates the, at least from what I'm seeing, I think she delegates some of the guest booking to other people. But
well, that's good.
But other than just getting up and kidding.
Let's say that.
You're smooth.
I really, see, sometimes Beth Ann, you got to tell a joke for yourself. You have to tell a joke
to
make you. Yes, I just really made myself laugh.
I called her this morning with a question about an extension cord.
I was so rude to
her. And it sounded like the building was burning down.
Really?
She said, "Oh, Rob, I have one. I'll bring it. I don't know.
Very put upon. Very put upon.
Oh, stop.
You are very put upon.
So true, though.
But the party is going to be great this Friday night.
Absolutely.
Everything's going to be taken care of. But rest assured, you'll have a, you know what? You'll have a woman on Friday running from 5 a.m. all the way through our showtime, and you will have a bunch of dullard, mouth-breathing interns sitting around going, "Anything I can do? Is there anything I can do?
Do you need anything?
You use them like toiletry. You really should. You should absolutely crack the whip and use them. And incidentally, has Horst pulled out of our employ? Is he somewhere else in the building
now? I believe he's CK's now.
Really?
Yeah.
I see Horst occasionally. Like, he looks like he's 60. You know, if you look at Horst down the hallway and you look, you just glance down there, you'll think there's like, we've hired a 60-year-old employee and I don't even know who he is because he's got old man hair.
Yeah, I thought Tim McWilliams was back.
Hey, how you doing there, Robbie?
All right, thank you, Beth Ann.
Thank you, man.
Have a great show today.
You too.
The password for Horst is busy work.
He's very, very busy. He's moving from room to room, taking care of all sorts of wonderful things, and that's what we're doing. So please come out to Chantilly Sports Bar, Bungalow Billiards, this coming Friday. We'll be
8
there.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock sharp, and we will be there at 8 o'clock. Sharp.
Yes,
we are
will.
Not late for those kind
no.
of things. What a weekend I had. Everybody should do this once in a while. You know, go to the seat of power in the United States. I'm not talking about Washington, D.C. I'm talking about the financial center of the world, New York City.
New York City.
Got the whole familia. On the train, did the train in the morning, went up to New York, and really kind of a 24-hour trip. Spent the night Saturday night, came back yesterday afternoon, and bing, bam, boom. I love that train.
Isn't that
I love that Acela train. Took the bullet train.
Oh, it's so nice.
Only way to go. Only so way nice. To go. The only moment I had on the train that was difficult was the fat girl who insisted on taking the foretop. Now, on a train, you've got the regular seats that face, you know, in one direction.
Right.
And they're perfectly acceptable.
Sure.
But the foretops are for families.
Right.
Really, they're designed for families or people traveling in a group.
Like a dinner table almost.
And
DJ shows playing cards.
I asked nicely, not demanding, but I said, is there any chance, you know, the woman obviously had just sat down and I thought it might be a little, but I wanted to have, you know, my daughters across from me and
family
Carl and
group.
I so we could see each other.
Sure.
And man, she just got the hem, the haw, the answer. And then what was the comment? She had some kind of comment that was like,
didn't want to move.
I said, thank you so much. That was very, very nice of you. Yes, I know it was. And, you know, after all that, you just
sort of diffuses it.
It diffuses the whole thing. But she moved, so that was the bottom line. Then I was nice enough to haul her suitcase over
to
her little space. But
her suitcase full of donuts?
You know, the nice thing is at 4 o'clock, I'm in New York City. And then at 8 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there turning on the TV in my own and I'm in Virginia.
Isn't that great?
It's fabulous. But New York was great.
Comfortable.
It was a wonderful weekend. We went up there to see the Broadway musical Young Frankenstein, which I am here to tell you.
How is it?
If you like that goofy stuff, you go see it because it was a treat. It was fun. It wasn't a letdown. It wasn't disappointing. It was 30 minutes longer than all Broadway shows should be, though.
Sure, always.
That's all Broadway shows. That's all musicals. That's all theatrical productions.
Was it three
That's all concerts. It's 30 minutes longer than it ever needs to be. All those shows are.
Yeah.
I could tell that to anybody putting on any kind of performance. I'm talking stand-up comedians if they have the, you know, the whole room, if they, you know, like your comics that get the HBO special. I want 90 minutes.
Shorter is better.
Mm-hmm. I want an hour and a half is more than enough time to get your message across, okay? There is not a need to go into that theater at 8 o'clock and come out of that theater at like quarter of 11. There's not a real need for that.
Woody Allen, for whatever else you may think of him, always tried to limit his movies to 90 minutes.
Exactly.
If you check the running time on his movies, his comedies,
you know, it was
90 minutes.
It was a good show, but you just sit there and you know, you're so enthused at the beginning when it starts. That's the best part, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, the overture and the characters come out and it's like, ooh, this is great. And then you realize you're there, and then you know, they have a little intermission, which they don't need, and then they needed to sell. Rob pointed that out to me. I swear to God, I said this is just for convenience. No, it's not. It's for selling merchandise.
Yes.
Merchandise,
that's the whole
and
idea.
Beer and drinks and $5 candy
that's
bars.
That's what they're all about. So it was great, though. I mean, you know, fantastic. Roger Bart, who you might have seen in the Producers movie, and he's also been on Desperate Housewives. He's a great actor, does a nice job. And Megan Mullally, who I was never like a Turbo fan of.
Yeah, but she's
talented. She stole the show. She absolutely, completely, and totally stole the show. She's worth going to see. So it was great taking my kids up
there. Your daughters, did they enjoy the show?
My kids know the movie Young Frankenstein.
Oh, great.
So they've watched that a bunch of times, and they love it. And my kids, God love Catherine and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. My kids enjoy where they are.
That's always.
I swear
almost
to
regardless.
God.
Yeah, they are really zero maintenance children. They are so pleasant.
I'm the spoiled brat. I'm really the one that's cussing and whining, and so is Carla.
Uh-huh.
We're just like, man. Meanwhile, my kids are like, Daddy, you know, there was one moment where my daughter wanted to go to Abercrombie & Fitch because they've got a two-level store.
Right.
And you know what they do on Fifth Avenue at Abercrombie & Fitch in New York City? They take groups of people. This is what I was told. I see a line around the block to get in a store, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is all about. And I see the line going around the block, and I finally asked, I think, a cab driver, and he said, they let people in shifts. They don't let everybody just come and go.
They limit the number of shoppers at any one time.
So, yes. I didn't say this in front of Catherine, but I believe I leaned over to Carly and I was like, F that. I'm not going to wait in line for my shift to go into a store I can go to at the mall.
Whereas the three females in your group were saying, well, if there's a line, it must be fantastic. We must be there.
You know, my daughter, Catherine, wanted to go, but she was cool. She's cool about that. I mean, I just, you know, and then, you know, we had a great time. However, and I mean this, ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart, please listen to what I'm going to say to you, okay? I don't know what the statistics are in New York City. I really, really don't. But I am still, and I know this is going to sound like probably nothing when I tell you about it, but it was to me.
Okay.
I don't know what the stats are on people, pedestrians that are hit by cars in New York City.
Staggering.
Are they really? Is it staggering?
Yeah,
I mean,
no, a lot
do you
of people,
know this?
No, I mean, a lot of people do get hit. Yes, absolutely. It's pretty bad here. It's even worse in New York.
How many did you hit?
A weekend in New York City. I didn't hit any, Rob.
Oh, good, Mike.
A weekend in New York City, which we never experienced when we were basically living up there every other week.
That's true.
We would go home on the weekends, and so we wouldn't see this. I'm not that really familiar with a crowded, touristy weekend in New York because I never had one. I had weekdays in New York.
Right.
It was so crowded, and you get going with a flow of people, and sometimes that flow makes you walk against a light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happened two or three times when we were up there. But I will tell you that at one point we were on Fifth again, you know, where all the stores are, the expensive stores that nobody can afford to go into.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stores that really exist. You know, what's amazing to me is that I think they're really more like glorified window shopping opportunities for everybody else.
Oh, it's like Main Street at Disneyland.
Because you take a look at Bergdorf and Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that store. I've walked in. When we were there the first go-around, I walked into that store. I'm never going in that store again because it really, it looks like you have to be, you know, Princess Di to go in there, even though she's passed away. So it was very frustrating.
You have to be dead.
We're coming back at night, and we had gone downtown, I think it was probably after the show, and I'd had him drop us off on a cross street, and we were walking back to our hotel, going down Fifth Avenue. I'm not sure what the cross street was, but it was one way. And we were at the tail end of a group of people, and they give you the little flashing stop hand, and we caught it. And we're walking against the light, and we've got the, and, you know, not thinking anything about it. And you hear,
getting louder.
This cab, I'm going to be really, really conservative.
Okay.
This cab was going 80 miles an hour.
Sure.
Minimum 80 miles an hour
We've
through
all
this
been
intersection.
In cabs like that.
I mean, absolute insanity. And I looked, you know, in a split second, I look and I see Carla pretty close to me, you know, on my left side. Elizabeth and I are holding hands. Mm-hmm. And as I hear this horn, I turn back, and Catherine was about three steps in back of me.
Oof.
And I grabbed her by her belt and pulled as hard as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And she almost went down on the back of her head. I pulled her that hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would estimate this cab missed her by, and I'm not going to exaggerate it, missed her by about two and a half feet.
Wow. That was close.
And this cab, you can't even begin to realize this guy who was going through this intersection was going at a rate of speed where he has already made the conscious decision at 80 miles an hour going through this intersection that if there's somebody that steps out in front of him, they're not hit. They're dead.
Sure.
And he has made this decision through an intersection. And, you know, you see a lot of cabs going crazy. And on some of the big arteries, you see them, you know better because everybody stops. It's a, you know, it's a big avenue.
Right.
On this, you know, this was a cross street.
Right.
This was a cross street. And the guy was, you know, they almost appear to be alleys. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, when
you
go up 56th or you go up, you know, 52nd
Very
Street.
Very narrow, not built for modern traffic.
And I apologize to my daughters after the fact because I was rather liberally using the F word regarding this cab driver. I yelled at Catherine. I was so terrified. I said, don't stay up and look, you know, where you're going, please.
It's a whole different intellect than walking around down here. It's a whole different dynamic.
You never know.
No,
you never know. But this is just for the Tourons that are going to go to that city, and especially on the weekend when you're traveling like a herd of elephant and you're moving through, please, oh, please, oh, please, be aware because you got asshats like this that are cruising along, these sons of bitches, that you can't even imagine the absolute lack of any regard. There were two options here. You either get out of his way or you die.
Right.
There's not the thing where he's going to be able to slow down and stop or control. He's going to hit you. He's going to hit you so hard, you're going to die on impact. And I know it happens all. If you get a chance, if you could just like look up on a website, I would love to know because my God, I've never seen anything. You know, I know they're real careful about not parking in the box.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you get a yellow light, they stop at the yellow light.
Right.
But this, you know, I think really they got to start thinking about these guys that are going 80 miles an hour.
I've never gotten close to being hit, but I do remember a few years ago, Carrie and I went up the weekend of Christmas. It was like maybe the weekend of the 16th and 17th of December to see New York at Christmas time, which is spectacular. But when you get about noon on the weekend before Christmas and you're walking through there, there are times when we wanted to, like, say, walk up a street and we couldn't because the sidewalks are cubically full of people.
Yeah, and you know, Times Square when you get out there on a weekend coming out of a show in the summertime. And, you know, we're over on Fifth Avenue, and this is at night, too. So, I mean, and it's still packed with people.
All you can do but move with them.
And you move like a herd. And Catherine, you know, God, she's not used to that. She doesn't have any idea. You know, and it was my fault. I mean, I was kind of the cruise director, and I should. But I was so mad, you know. And he's gone. You know, the cabbie's gone.
You can't
get any. Cabbie drives off into the night.
There's no satisfaction to be had there.
You want to have that teleporting ability just to go down so I could just get into the second seat of that cab and absolutely, you know, pull his throat out because I was that pissed off. Just a warning to everybody, when you go up there, you don't think so. You don't think it's an automatic that when you're walking as a pedestrian that people are going to look out for you.
No, they don't.
In that city, it ain't going to happen. Probably in most cities it ain't going to happen either. But that particular experience taught me it was so close. I don't know how long it took for me to get over it. It was one of those things. It doesn't sound like much, but it was such a shocker to my system to come, you know, close.
Yeah.
Not you know, now, oh my God, it almost done. Yeah. It was close enough.
Right.
It was a combination of the fact of how close she was and the speed the cab was going at. Mm-hmm. So just be aware
of
that.
No regard for human safety.
I forgot what you were going to say.
I was going to say there were about 11,000 encounters between cars and pedestrians in New York in 2006. The worst intersection is 33rd and Park Avenue, where there were 120 people injured by vehicles in that intersection.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's significant. How many? 11,000?
11,000 a year.
I'm surprised it's not more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, when a guy like this, this would not have been an injury. This would have been a fatality.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was crazy. But that's not all that happened in New York City, ladies and gentlemen.
There's more?
Well, I want to talk about young Frankenstein and the farter.
For what it's worth, that averages out to over 30 encounters a day.
Wow. 30 a day?
Yeah, all right. Over 30 a day.
About right. Yeah, that sounds about right to me. Also, fake Rolexes, young Frankenstein, the fodder, I mentioned that. And also on the show today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be doing something very, very unique. Uh-huh. It's called The Great Debate.
Yes.
Oh. If you have skills of debate, we have a major issue of the day that we are going to bring up to you, and then we're going to open our phone lines up a little later in the broadcast and give you an opportunity to weigh in on one of our great debates. I believe we might be split in this room. I'm not quite sure, but
we
usually are.
I'm in the middle, but I'm just... Do you fancy yourself a master debater?
I am a master debater.
Yeah.
I was actually in youth and government back in 1975.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was voted best debater.
Really?
I truly was.
I lettered in debate.
I have, well, debate team. And I think we all have the calluses to prove it, don't
we? Yes, we do.
I lettered in theater.
So that's coming up on the show. I'll tell you all about my little trip up to New York City.
Yay.
And we'll have the first buzz, and then later on we're going to play The Great Debate. So stay tuned, and also lots more fun and more thrills coming up on The Big Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.